The smell of smoked fish mixes with apple and maplewood outside of Monty's original smokehouse in Frankfurt. The owner, Monty Finkhaus, says he can't supply enough chub for his customers.
Yeah, I figure they'll be out late. I know they're bringing me chubs in the morning.
Good luck, hey, Monty.
See you later.
Chubs were the smoked fish at local retailers up until the mid-90s. They accounted for 90% of all smoked fish sold at Monty's small store in Frankfurt.
Chubs are the deepest water fish we have, right on the bottom. So it's a real, that's real cold. So the fish are very oily, and that makes for a good smoked fish. Simple as that.
But now he and most other retailers mainly sell smoked whitefish, salmon, or lake trout.
But there's not the, there used to be a lot of chubs out there. It used to be, it wasn't anything unusual to lift ton and a half of chubs in one lift. Now 150 pounds or so is pretty good lift.
But still, this summer, smokehouses like Monty's are having a little more luck getting chubs. There are only 5 licenses available from the state for gillnet fishing in Lake Michigan, and 2 of those licenses are being used this summer by fishing boats running out of Frankfurt and Leland. Twice a week, the fishing tug Kathy motors out of Betsy Bay in search of chub. Dustin Van Orman drives the boat for 2 hours, placing the fishing crew of 3 just off of South Manitou Island.
So far, the Manitou seemed like the best place where there's still some chubs around, where you get by South Manitou on the south side, and it'll drop right off 300-400 feet of water on a nice gradual bank. They're at least flourishing.
Here, chub feed off of the shrimp-like diaparaya and water mices. The fishermen spend 2 hours reeling in their mile-long gill net. The first net they lift brings in about 250 pounds of the white and silver hand-sized chub. The quantity of chub they catch varies from week to week and from net to net. They lift the second line hoping for an even greater number of chub.
This doesn't look good. Be lucky to have 10 pounds.
But there's easily more than 10 pounds of quagga mussels clustered on their gill nets. The fishermen toss the thumbnail-sized invasive species overboard with a large shovel. Ken Ranville comes from several generations of fishermen. He's fished for over 30 years and witnessed the explosion of mussels in the Great Lakes.
When I was younger, they didn't exist in the lakes, and now they're just everywhere. Get enough of them to pave a road with them.
Ranville blames the mussel for the weak chub fishery. The number of chubs has decreased more than 99% in the past 20 years. Diaparaya are a key food source for chubs.
Yep.
And quagga mussels and diaparaya compete for algae. The population of the shrimp-like organism has decreased more than 90% in the past 2 decades. Bo Bunnell, a fisheries biologist with the United States Geological Survey, says it is easy to draw connections between invasive mussels and the decline of native Great Lake species.
So we know that mussels out there are, there are a lot of them, they're really deep, and you know, the lake only has so much energy, and as more and more of that energy is shunted from fish into mussel biomass, you know, there's got to be trade-offs associated with that.
However, many scientists are not certain if mussels are directly to blame for the precipitous decline of chubs. The chub population was even smaller in the late 70s, long before mussels were found in Lake Michigan. Noting these mixed trends, scientists have come up with 6 hypotheses on the chub's wildly fluctuating numbers. Some scientists believe their population increases and decreases in 15-year cycles, and the chub is nearing its low. Bunnell believes it could be tied to an abundance of the egg-eating and bottom-dwelling fish called slimy sculpin. Their numbers have risen sharply the past decade because of a shrinking predator population like lake trout. Bunnell is optimistic that chub can rebound again, like they did in the 80s.
The species has it within itself to come back, but it's going to be a tougher road to hoe because they've lost diaparaya, which is one of their primary prey, and it's a different food web now, largely because of these mussels. And so I can understand the concern of the commercial fishermen.
I'm Tyler Seip, reporting for Interlaken Public Radio in Frankfurt.